John Edgar Wideman has written about the history of lynching in America, about the bombing of the Black Radical Collective Move, and even the racial climate surrounding the epidemic of yellow fever in the 18th century in Philadelphia. In all, he's penned more than 20 works of fiction and nonfiction. Now Wideman has turned his attention to the sickness of racism as seen through the eyes of the revolutionary and theorist Frantz Fanon. The new novel is called Fanon, and John Edgar Wideman is here to tell us more. How are you doing?
Oh, I'm doing just fine. It's a weirdly warm and beautiful day in New York.
Let's talk about your book. You write, and this is a quote from the book, Fanon's story remains relatively untouched, forgotten like novels on the bestseller list the year he died. So when did you first become familiar with his work, and why did you decide to write about him now?
Like a lot of people, I carried Wretched of the Earth in my back pocket, making sure the title showed as a kind of revolutionary symbol back in the 60s. I read him at that point. I lost him over the years. That is to say, I didn't teach him. I didn't read any more of his books. But about 6 years ago, I was in Martinique, and Mr. Fanon was born in Martinique, and I saw a stenciled portrait on a wall of a man who looked somewhat familiar. I thought it was just a political poster of some kind. But the face haunted me, and I didn't recognize it immediately. And then the next day, I realized that I had been face-to-face with Frantz Fanon. And that started me to thinking, started me to reading again, and the result is Fanon.
Fanon is not a traditional character in this book. He floats through largely as someone who is thought of rather than someone who acts. Tell us a little bit about how you decided to structure the book and how he appears in the book.
Mainly, I had this idea for the book. Fanon was an important person to me. He was a kind of hero for a while. In many ways, his life parallels mine. He came from a divided country, a country divided into black and white. His experience was colonial. Mine was urban. But I recognized in him a kind of brother, if you will. Still, Fanon, for me, was a kind of idealized person, an idealized persona. And I wanted to track down what made him so attractive to me.
So you're comparing yourself in this book to a great revolutionary. And in this book you write, almost 30 years ago, I tried to write a book I hoped might free my brother from a life sentence in the penitentiary. Everything written after that book, and basically it didn't work, everything written after that book worked even less. Are you upset that words can't change more?
Well, I'm upset, and I'm also I also know better than to think that they really can. What words change, the power of words is to change the individual sensibility, to change the individual conscience. And every now and again, there are words which aligned with politics and good luck and external conditions in the world, there are words and phrases and slogans that really can manifest change.
What specifically, if you had to pick a phrase from him, what would it be?
Would be, make of me a man who questions. Make of me a man who questions. And I would certainly put that on a t-shirt and wear it around.
What keeps you writing about race? Not just because you're an African-American author, but because of what it brings to your work. What keeps you writing about race in one form or the other?
Well, I want to understand it, as my friend Fanon, as my idol Fanon. I want to understand it. And it is quite complicated, but in another way, it's quite simple. And when I say race, I should stipulate, I don't mean simply black and white. By race, I mean any idea or notion that divides human beings into more than one kind. And then the next step of race and racism and racialized thinking is to figure out a scheme through which or by which, because of this difference, manufactured difference, one group or another can take advantage of other groups. So it sits over our shoulder, and it's part of what's the motivation for our going into Iraq. It's keeping young black men in prison in a totally disproportionate way. It's the cause of abuse against women. Race is a villain, and I wish I could wave a magic wand, but I can't. It's too deeply embedded in our nature.
You mentioned how race is linked to, among many other things, the prison system, and you've had, I'm sure, much too much experience with it, more than you'd like, with both your brother and your son incarcerated. You have sections in your book where your brother is, you and your brother are talking about the nature of hope and whether hope can be debilitating in the context of being someone who's incarcerated. How does your personal experience inform your how you think about an issue that's this big sociological, anthropological, financial, government issue, and then the real hardcore issue of how do you relate to family who are incarcerated?
Well, you've described in a way what Fanon, the novel, is all about, and maybe a central vein in all my work. And I think it's totally consistent to see that if race is a way of immuring, isolating, or dividing people, then naturally institutions grow up in society that formalize that cutting off. And I felt that each time I go home to Pittsburgh to visit my brother in prison.
At the same time, though, there's this question of who's on the other end of the aggression. And you write about your mother as well, looking out over a window at streets that are not clean and not safe. And how does that loop affect you?
Well, for me, she's not completely constrained. She is as much a hero in the book as I envision it, as Fanon. Somehow this woman, who's very much like my mother, meets Fanon. And in my mind, it would be a meeting for the ages, because it's a meeting of my two parts of me, the intellectual, the writer, the activist, who has set out to try to change the world, and then that world itself, represented by this woman who was my who brought me onto the earth, and who in her life and in her consciousness embodies a folk wisdom, but she's not constrained, because she had the power to love, and that love affected all the people around here. I lost my mother just in the last 10 days.
And, I'm so sorry.
It was an extraordinary experience to go back to Pittsburgh and hear testimony after testimony from family and friends about her impact upon the community, and for me to observe how powerfully her presence was still around. This book becomes a kind of memorial. When I wrote it, I was thinking about sitting with my mother and reading it to her. And so I won't get a chance to do that in the way I would have liked to have done it. But it just means that she'll be listening in another way.
Well, Mr. Weidman, I'm really sorry about your loss. I mean, I'm glad you made the time for us, considering.
That's what she would have me do. That's how I was raised. But thank you again, and thank you for your condolences.
John Edgar Weidman is the author of the novel Fanon. And that's our show for today. Thank you for sharing your time with us. To listen to the show or subscribe to our podcast, visit our website, nprnewsandnotes.org.